right, guys, welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us on the Frisco Podcast. We are here at the National Video Game Museum that just opened up last week in Frisco, and we're super excited to have you guys here. We got all three of the founders, so why don't you guys introduce yourselves, and then we'll just kind of get into talking about the museum.
My name is Joe Santulli, one of the co-founders of National Video Game Museum.
I'm John Hardy.
I'm Sean Kelly.
All right, so how did you guys come together to produce something like this?
Well, we've been good old pals for a long time. We met years before the internet when we were just collectors, trading emails about what was out there that we didn't know about and what sort of games. Sean used to sell games and I would buy stuff from him. He was kind enough to send me a Shark cartridge. That was like our first, I'm like, oh, this guy's all right. He sent me a Shark cartridge for Intellivision, which is a game that I needed for a while back then.
You guys were collectors and just kind of knew each other through that. That world, I guess.
Individually, we've all been collecting for over 30 years, and you know, we all had our specialties and certain areas that we were our favorite systems or things that we were collecting. And as time went on, it just kept growing immensely. We got together and started doing a video game convention called Classic Gaming Expo. That was in 1999, and that was when we did our first museum exhibit. And from there, it just mushroomed everything, bigger and better every year.
Okay, so I have to ask the question that I'm sure you've been asked 100 times already. How did we get so lucky in Frisco for this to end up here, as opposed to a million other places that certainly would have been great places to have a museum like this?
We looked around. Our knee-jerk reaction was Silicon Valley. That's where video games were born. We thought that was the place that we would like to put a museum. But they weren't very receptive to the idea in California. We talked to a couple different cities, tried to get through a couple of different cities. Even the response that we did get was lukewarm when we got one. We met Randy Pitchford at one of the traveling exhibits that we were doing in Las Vegas. Randy saw one of our exhibits, and Randy thought that he had the perfect place for us. Randy's a bit of a historian himself. He had a historical display in his office, and really got into the history of video games. Randy was in the process of moving Gearbox Software from Plano to Frisco, and Randy said, you know what, I've been talking to the city, the mayor, and I really think that they would be into what you guys are thinking about doing. So he asked us to come down, and he set up a meeting for us, and right away they loved us. The city council, the mayor, they all got it. They all knew it was a perfect fit, and within a couple of weeks we knew it was a perfect fit. So the process took a few months, a few meetings to figure out exactly how and what we were going to do. You know, once everything was nailed down, we were home. This is it. We love it.
How hard was it to find or to acquire some of the things that you guys have here? I've seen things that I had forgotten ever even existed. There's one that we had when I was a kid. It was the first thing I saw when I walked in for Media Day. That's the old Odyssey system that had the overlays on your TV screen. My dad had that when I was a kid. So how hard was it to come up with those things, or were they things that you guys already had in your collector repositories?
Yeah, you have to remember, we started this long before anybody else was collecting, so we were collectors before collecting was cool.
Yeah, we were fortunate a lot of times to be in the right place at the right time, and the fact that we were actively seeking items, we were able to get them without having to pay an arm and a leg for them. You know, you would never be able to take a collection like this and build it today. We were doing it at a time when people were just throwing stuff out. Thankfully, today people are a little more aware that, you know, a lot of the developers just don't toss stuff. But back then, it was a race against time. Can't tell you how many times we would contact somebody and they'd say, "Oh, I wish you'd call me last month. I just threw out all the stuff I've had in my garage for 17 years," and it's like, ah. Heartbreaking.
Yeah, that's kind of painful. What are some of the more interesting or unique kinds of things that people are going to find when they come to visit the museum? Any particular favorites or things that you guys think stand out? Other than the oversized Pong game, which everybody's going to see when they walk in. That's awesome.
I mean, we have a lot of really cool items, a lot of one-of-a-kind items. There's a certain appeal to a certain age crowd. Little kid isn't going to really care that we have a prototype of System X, but somebody who grew up in that generation will. So it's hard to say. We have a widespread collection of things that we've tried to balance, where we have cool old stuff and cool new stuff that people of all ages can identify with. I mean, there are a lot of one-of-a-kind items in the museum, you know?
Yeah, and there's a lot of items that are pretty old and probably have had to have some degree of work or restoration. Are you guys doing that stuff here? Any challenges with bringing an old console or an old game back to life? I can imagine that you know, the chipsets and the boards and all the different things that go into that probably
John is not easy. John and I have been working on two arcade machines the last 2 days, and we're ready to strangle ourselves. So sometimes it's pretty frustrating. The problem is that some of it's so old, and like I say, most of the time you can find parts for it, but yesterday we drove from Frisco to Arlington, which was about 45 minutes each way, to go to a specific Fry's Electronics to get one transistor for the StarCastle machine we were working on. And it was $6. We probably spent three times that in gas going back and forth.
Not to mention the time.
It was just so frustrating. Yeah, not to mention the time. It was so frustrating. But and then when we got back, that still didn't fix it. So sometimes it's pretty frustrating working on that stuff. But despite the hassles and despite the frustration, we kind of like it. It's fun. We have a good time with it. We were here last night till 1 in the morning putzing around with the Jungle King machine, and we were tired, but we were having a good time. It's the kind of thing that we like to do. John and I are both tinkerers.
It definitely feels like a labor of love with you guys, and have a lot of appreciation for that. I mean, I'm of the perfect age where I grew up, you know, putting every dollar bill into token machines that I could, so
very you can still do that here whenever you want.
And I noticed that now we have the arcade. I didn't get to play when I was in the other day, but I will definitely be at least, you know, seeing how rusty my Donkey Kong skills are before I go. So let's talk a little bit more about the museum itself. Certainly one of the things people are going to notice when they come in are the amazing murals and paint jobs that are all over the place here. And as I understand, there was a local artist that came in and did all that. Was it one artist? Was it different people?
We had one wall that we wanted done specifically, and we reached out to Frisco Arts, who was sharing the building with us at that time, and they put a posting out to their group, and one of the people in their group was Val Wigglesworth, who writes everywhere in Dallas. So she had put it in the newspaper, and before we knew it, our inbox was flooded with people that wanted to come and paint that specific mural. So Sean scheduled these people to come in waves, and my wife and I walked them through the space when it was all just white walls, and basically told them what we were going to do with those spaces. So asked them, picture what we're doing, what would you do artwork-wise for this? So we took seven people that gave us the best pitch for those specific exhibits, and seven artists are responsible for all of the mural art that you see here, and the Mario statue that's in the front.
Oh, wow, so the Mario statue was made specifically for you guys.
That was built for us.
Custom made by
Well,
there's no better person to have keeping an eye on this place. What was the name of the artist that actually did the first mural you see when you come in, the big
Anna
wall?
Anna Terry? Anna did that. She collaborated with Oliver Wade in the handheld room and in the gift shop as well.
Okay. That's a fantastic. I mean, that you just kind of get lost looking at that wall and all the stuff she
put
into it. Yeah.
Amazing.
Beautifully done. So let's talk a little bit now about the future. When we were here for Media Days, you guys said, this is just the beginning, we have more plans. Is there anything you can elaborate on or maybe tease us with, things to look forward to down the road?
Yeah, our original vision for the museum had a lot more hands-on and research facility type thing, which with 10,000 square feet roughly, we weren't able to implement. So we kind of had to scale back our plans. We always pictured having a research library or research facility where people could come in and do research on old video games, or maybe a corporation is involved in some patent lawsuit and wants to research whether or not there was similar items back in the day. What was the first, you know, instance of a voice recognition system, things of that nature. I mean, we have a huge amount of paperwork. We have old company memos, magazines, periodicals. So there's just a ton of stuff that needs to be scanned, archived, whatever, and that would be available for people to use. So we could easily see that being a good chunk of space right there. We've also talked about a bigger workshop areas where maybe local people, you have somebody who's working on an Arduino project, he could come into a little like work area, and there'd be, you know, the facilities he needs there, the resources, soldering and programming and things of that nature.
Kind of a little maker space for people that are
maker
space
is exactly what we're talking about. And even for archiving purposes, you know, someone has an old disc that they want to back up, we would then have a facility here that you could come in and archive the data off of that disk. There's a lot of stuff like that, and they're just bigger and better. I mean, we have a lot. Our original list was close to 60 exhibits, and we pared it down to like 18 to 20 here that, you know, we thought were the best that we would go with. But there's so many others that are still in the pipeline.
Well, I hope that we get to see this place grow and grow and grow. The research library sounds fantastic, and for me, one of the exciting things as a technology guy about having you guys here is a lot of people look at video games and they see, you know, it's fun or, you know, how much time their kid spends playing them or whatever. But it's easy to forget that gaming is one of those industries that is always pushing the edge of what's happening in technology. And so it's fun to see how those things have evolved and to come to one place where you've got all these old consoles and all these old games and you can watch how that tech has evolved and kind of forget that at one point in time this stuff was very cutting edge. You know, companies like Gearbox we're glad to have here as well because they're going to help further that mission and kind of keep pushing the edge of those things. So
sure.
Glad to have you guys here. Thank you very much.
No, we're thrilled.
Last little bit of news for everybody that is going to come out and see the museum that hasn't already. This place is going to blow your mind. I have to admit, it absolutely exceeded my expectations. We knew this was coming for a long time, and it really exceeded the expectations that I had for it. When do you guys open? What are the hours? What does it cost?
It's 10 to 4 Tuesday through Thursday, 10 to 8 on Friday and Saturday, and 12 to 5 on Sunday.
10 to 5.
We'll make sure we get that right in the show notes.
Yeah, thank you. And then Monday we're closed.
Okay, so closed on Monday. That's the only day?
Yes.
What does it cost to get in?
$12 for adults, $10 for kids 10 and under, 3 and under is free, and we have discounts for military, educators, and seniors.
And then there's the arcade kind of in the back as you're exiting, so there's a whole bunch of cool old stand-up games that people can come in and play. Like I said, I'm going to go try my hand at Donkey Kong again. It won't last very long, but...
Each person's admission gets them 4 tokens to use in the arcade.
Okay,
well.
So you get 4 tokens. That's worth it right there to me. It's gone up from the price of a quarter back in the day, but you know, it's still worth it. Still worth it. Are you guys going to be doing any kind of selling of games? Or, like, if I wanted to have an old Galaga game in my home, could I come to you guys and could you help me acquire that? Or is that not a part of this plan?
We don't sell anything. And, you know, it would really be a conflict of interest if we did. If you'll notice in the gift shop, you know, we certainly have older items that we could sell, but we don't want there to be any, I guess, confusion that people think, well, we're selling things that maybe those things were donated and now we're turning around and selling them. So it's strictly, you know, anything you see in the gift shop, we sell classic systems, but they're the modern, you know, Flashback or Retron, modern systems that let you play classic games. We may be able to point you to the right person that could help you find one, you know, but we wouldn't sell anything.
Especially if you live in Chicago or New Jersey.
Is that where you guys are originally all from?
Sean's from Chicago, John's from New York, and I'm from New Jersey. And Sean and I both own retail stores that buy and sell vintage games.
Okay, good to know. So you guys always have your eyes out for kind of what's happening, what's
Indeed.
Coming in. So. Well, guys, thank you very much for joining me today. Again, great. Very excited to have you here. For everybody that's listening, I'm going to encourage you to get out here as fast as you can. Come check this place out. You're going to want to come back. There's just so much to see, and you guys did a fantastic job, so thank you.
Thank you very much. Thanks for coming.
Yeah. We'll talk to you guys next week.